In the American Civil War, there was a member of the Arkansas Light Artillery named William Jackson Smart. William Jackson Smart had 6 children, and after the war moved to Spokane, Washington. Wikipedia doesn't say anything about how his wife died, but he was a single father. The oldest daughter was named Sonora Smart Dodd, and Sonora was so impressed by the ability of her father as a father that she felt that his fatherhood needed recognition. And Mother's Day had been around for a while, but Sonora Smart Dodd and the rest of her siblings were unable to celebrate Mother's Day. So she brought up to the Spokane Ministerial Alliance and suggested that her father's birthday, June 5th, should be celebrated as Father's Day, as a day of honor for fathers. The Alliance chose instead the third Sunday in June, and that was the first celebration of Father's Day on June 19th, 1910. June 19th, 1910. The day was not made a permanent holiday until President Nixon signed it into law in 1972. I didn't know that. There's a verse in Malachi 2, verse 10, that says, "Have we not all one Father? Did not God create us?" We refer to our Heavenly Father very often. That's a phrase. I think that's something that we all innately know. I'd say that's what draws us in the doors here. Whenever our first time was coming here, the knowledge that there is a plan and a purpose and a creating God larger than us, a righteous God, a God who is our Father. And our Father will have his day, and that fact, that righteousness will hold us up. I'm going to center my thoughts today around this chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah 41. Look at Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10. Our theme verse is Isaiah 41, verse 10, but we're going to read now Isaiah 41, verse 9 and 10. "I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you.' So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The fact that our Father has a plan, has a righteous Son, that is what reminds us that he is with us, and that is what strengthens us. The fact that our Father will, in an infinitely larger way, celebrate Father's Day. All of Isaiah 41 really is about God's righteous judgment and his separation of his people from those who disdain them in him, and the futility, the emptiness of idols or gods that are not God. Look at verse 2 through 4. He sets up his magnificence. "Who stirred up one from the east, whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him, so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes safely by paths his feet have not tread. Who has performed and done this, called the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he." And look over again at verse 14 through 16. "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I, the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I make you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them." God speaking of his judgment and his redemption of us, the spiritual Israel, redeeming the world and redeeming us through judgment into perfection. But back again at verse 9 and 10, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. We are God's chosen people. He has called us here to be in this room. He has called us his servants. He has chosen us. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I can't say this as a father, but I am confident that it is good for fathers to use those words right there in the first half of verse 10. Do not be afraid, I am with you. That is what our God says to us repeatedly. And again, look down at verse 13. I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who says to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. What a powerful father our Father is to say something like that to us. To talk about our Father's Day, the day of the Lord, is a scary, intimidating thing, I think. The day of the Lord is a phrase that occurs in the Bible 25 times. And I'm not going to look at all those verses, but I'm going to list some of the words that are attached to those verses, some of the adjectives that are in there. The biggest one is destruction. Destruction's in there almost every time. Vengeance, wrath, doom, and gloom. They're both in there. Darkness, the moon turning to blood, roaring, and suffering. Remember back to your childhoods. Maybe you've been pestering your siblings all day, or you've been a particular nuisance to your mother, or maybe you commit one final indecency and destroy a lamp by playing ball in the house, and it flips your mother's top, and she says 7 terrible words. Wait for your father to come home. Every good father has his day when justice reigns. In the small instance, maybe, of the broken lamp, to the largeness of justice reigning in the whole world, fathers have their day. Turn with me to 2 Peter. We're going to look at just a couple instances of the day of the Lord, or what I'm calling today Father's Day. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 8, and we're going to read through to verse 13. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Fathers sometimes allow events to transpire. Maybe they're going to have their day in a time that you can't recognize, but we need to recognize that good fathers always act just as our Father will. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? All these things will be dissolved. I love that's such a that word has a lot of words in it, the word dissolved. All these things will be dissolved, and that should help us realize the lives that we need to live of holiness and godliness. And living a life of holiness and godliness means waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, again dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. According to his promise, we have this hope. God has promised that he will have his day. And verse 13 also mentions the new heavens and the new earth being where righteousness dwells. I have trouble with the word righteousness. Righteousness is hard for me to wrap my mind around, hard for me to grasp, hard for me to apply to myself. I feel like righteousness is an incredibly high calling. Turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah has another verse talking about the day of the Lord, our Father's Day. And righteousness also appeared. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, we're going to read verse 2 and 3. Before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord, before your father comes home. Seek the Lord, you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. Seek righteousness. Righteousness is absolutely a calling that we have. We're told to seek it out. And we read in 1 John. Flip over to 1 John 3, verse 10. We just read it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God, who gets to call God their father, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. If we practice righteousness, we are of God, and God is our Father. But how do we practice righteousness? Again, righteousness is almost too broad a term in my mind. I've had trouble getting my arms around it. Well, look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 gave us an example which helped me figure out how to attain righteousness, how to try to seek righteousness. It is a broad term, and this is just one way, but this helped me get my thoughts into this. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Speaking of Abraham, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteous, as righteousness. Verse 16 says, this is the one who shares the faith of Abraham. We're talking about Abraham's faith. And Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. We read promise in 2 Peter as well. According to his promise, we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth. Right? God has promised that he's going to have his day, that there will be a day of the Lord. And being fully convinced that God is able to do his promises, that God fulfills his promises, that God does what he says he's going to do, again, like a good father does, that is righteousness. That is how we can be counted as righteousness. That is how we can seek righteousness. We have to seek belief in what has been promised. Let's go back to Isaiah 41. Circle back to Isaiah 41, verse 10 again. circle back to this beautiful message our Father gives to us. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. God has promised to wrap us up, to be with us, to bind our hearts. There are many wonderful promises that he gives those who love him, those who seek after him. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What is God talking about when he talks about his right hand? Maybe, who is this right hand? We've already referred to Jesus, and that is who we are here to remember. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Acts chapter 2, we'll start at verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And flip over to chapter 5, also of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31. The apostles again say, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus is at God's right hand, and that is where he can give forgiveness of sins with God. Stephen sees Jesus at God's right hand in chapter 7. Chapter 7 of Acts, verse 55. As Stephen is being stoned, and before he dies, he gazes into heaven and he says, I saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The right hand of God is where Christ is now. And if God says he's going to uphold us with his right hand like he does here in Isaiah 41, maybe he's referring to his Son's impact on our lives. These emblems right here. We are upheld by our righteous Lord. And if we believe in the promise of our Father's day, we also will be counted as righteous. Jesus showed us by his sacrifice that he believed, like Abraham, the promises. He was promised that he would be raised. He believed that what his Father said was going to happen, happens, and it happened. He believed these promises, and that meant he was righteous to his own death. How beautiful an exhortation this verse is. In the middle of a chapter describing the wrath, the righteous anger that God will have when he makes all things right and brings justice to the earth, when our Father comes home, he refers to his children and comforts them as a father. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.